Good evening, third time lucky. Welcome to Friday Night Live, 30th of May, 2025. Freedebate.com/donate. Let's keep things spicy. If you've got great questions, let me know if you'd like me to start with Ina Kleiner Dispen ranting. Ranting? Would you like a rant? Would you like a rant? Because Mike Cernovich, Monsieur Michael Von Cernovich, had a bit of a banger tweet that went out, I think, yesterday or the day before, and somebody's just sort of pointing it out here, where he was saying, what was he saying here? He said, let me just get this here. He said, "I'm not a doomer and have always been pro-tech acceleration. Everyone I'm talking to who works in AI, man, we are about to get hit by a freight train." What do you think, Steph? Will AI really be a freight train? Well, what are your thoughts? I'm happy to hear your thoughts. I can certainly share my thoughts about all of this, and you can tell me what you think of it. It is going to be a rant. I will be straight up about that. And it is going to be a rant that may be a little too spicy for you. It's going to be a rant that is going to be frank. So I will have my rant, and then you can tell me what you think. Now, here's my rant. I don't care. I look within, right? I look within, and I try to be honest with you. I aim to be honest with you guys. I don't care. So some of the studies are not great with regards to AI and productivity. There was one study about managers that AI had saved them about 3% of their productivity. Computers had a sort of similar thing. Everyone said, oh my God, computers are going to make us so much more efficient. It's not really the case. Human beings adapt to technology and have an amazing genius at finding ways to destroy productivity gains from technology. It's really quite remarkable how we're able to do that. So, email is going to be so much more efficient. No, because sometimes phone calls are much better, right? I mean, a lot of people who have social anxiety just end up emailing all the time. They're not very good at communicating. You can't read between the lines, whereas you can read people's emotions with regards to, especially face-to-face calls, you can read people's emotions on a phone call much better than you can an email. And of course, the email flood, it's so much easier. Now we have Zoom, or now we have other things. We can just do these meetings in so much more of an efficient manner. My God, it's beautiful. It's like, no, now you just have a bunch of made up HR jobs where people have endless meetings with no particular purpose or point. So we have an amazing ability to completely screw up productivity gains. Now, in a free society, that wouldn't really be the case, of course, but it certainly is the case in the society that we have now. I have to watch this tendency in myself to not keep tinkering and fussing with things to the point where I wreck the productivity gains of having all of this great technology. So, for instance, I've done some article reviews recently, and I just hold my tablet, and I'm not, oh, let's do the separate, slightly better audio with the, you know, all of this. It's like, no, just boot it up and talk into the microphone. It's fine. And to not fuss with massive productivity gains. As you can see, you know, the studio here is not very sophisticated. It is me inside an aging ping pong ball of gray testicle doominess. And I really want you guys to focus on the ideas and the arguments and not be distracted by some sort of background nonsense. So there is that. Now, on the other hand, I think that the technology is a lot further ahead than people think. I've worked in tech R&D, and the stuff that's in the pipeline is way better than the stuff that's out here in the world. And so I think with regards to physical robots, everyone's like, yeah, but they can't clean toilets. Yeah, they can. Yeah, but they can't, you know, assemble this, that, or the other. It's like, yes, they can. They really can do absolutely wild and amazing stuff. Now, they can't do philosophy yet, but I'll give you sort of an example of an AI productivity that I used. I'm working on this new novel, which is, oh my God, it's so good.
Ugh.
You know, sometimes I amaze even myself. It's an old line from Star Wars. But no, it's really, I've had a real breakthrough in writing and all of that. So I needed to, one of the characters is a lawyer, and so I needed a legal situation or scenario. Now, in the past, I'd have buried myself in books and done research for a week or two. But with AI, you can just say, give me this scenario, give me a Canadian context and the you know, whatever, right? And it can map it all out for you and get all the research done together for you. It's really amazing as far as that goes. So for me, it is really helpful and good for these kinds of things, because when you're a novelist, you have to become an expert in just about everything. And AI is just a remarkable research assistant as far as all of that goes. Now, we've got self-driving cars. I told you guys a couple of months ago, I went for a test drive in a Cybertruck. Not that I'm buying a Cybertruck, obviously. My car is 8 years old, something like that, still younger than my phone. Oh, no, my phone's about 6 years old. But I was just curious about the technology. It will blow your gourd, man. It will blow your gourd. It is unbelievably great. It is unbelievably great. So it drives you to your destination, no hassle, no problem. And also, when you get into a parking space, you get into a parking lot, it'll show you the parking spots around you. You touch the parking spot, and it figures out how to get your car, your Cybertruck, into that parking lot. It's mind-blowing, and it feels like it's doom. Your car feels possessed, and it is possessed by Elon Musk excellence, musculence, or whatever you want to call it. It's like staggeringly good. It's and that is the future. I mean, that is the future. People, you know, you have like a, from what I read recently, you have like a 10% chance of getting into an accident over the next 5 years, but it cut way in half and more if you are, if you have a self-driving car, and if you let it handle it all, it goes down even further. So, I mean, car crashes kill like, what, 30, 35,000 people a year in the States. So that's the future. And I remember having this, I did a show a couple of years ago about Tucker Carlson's book about, well, we can't let self-driving trucks out there on the road. Sure we can. Right now, I was reading about a guy on X. He runs eight trucks. His insurance, which is fairly minimal insurance, is well over $120,000 a year. Well, that's crazy. That's like, so yeah, self-driving trucks are coming along. Manual dexterity robots are coming along. And AI is already reviewing resumes. They're starting to have AI call people up and do interviews to see if they're answering questions correctly and so on. AI is creating teaching plans, learning plans, studying plans, which means tutors are out of the way. So, yeah, AI is coming to eat everyone's lunch. I mean, not mine. AI is not original in that way. So what I do is original. It's why I keep doing it. I'm not doing the same thing time after time, week after week. I couldn't stand it. It would be appalling to me. So I do new things, and those new things are fun for me. Hopefully they're fun and enjoyable for you. But honestly, I don't care. I do not care what happens to people with regards to AI. And I'll tell you why. Yeah, AI is going to be great for therapy. AI is, you know, I've already got, not that I'm a therapist, but, you know, if you're a subscriber to freedomain.locals.com or subscribestar.com/freedomain, you've got a whole call-in show. We've programmed up an AI with my call-in shows and given it some good instructions, and people are finding it very, very helpful. Now, again, it's not going to be original in the way that I am, but it's going to be pretty amazing, and it's certainly going to be helpful and, you know, cost-benefit, right? It's great. So I don't care. I don't care. In particular, I don't care what happens to the, I don't know, how do we put this? How do we put this? How do we put this? Those who are more easily replaced by AI, I don't particularly care. And everybody who says that they do care is just kind of lying to you, right? I mean, think of like at the beginning of the 20th, beginning of the 19th century, right? Like 90% or more of Americans were involved in farming. Now it's down to about 2%, right? So 88% of people got kicked out of the country. They lost all of their farm skills. They lost all of their manual labor skills because they had to transfer them to some other environment, usually some sort of proletariat situation. Did anybody really care? Was there massive dislocation? There certainly was, right? I remember at the end of the Second World War, sorry, it sounds like I remember directly, but I remember hearing about the end of the Second World War, you had, you know, millions of soldiers coming back from the war, right? And these were men who'd been traumatized and had been doing terrible things. It killed people, I guess. I mean, no, the majority of them didn't even fire their weapons in war, but some of them certainly did. And they were coming flooding back into the American economy. And all of the economists and the socialists and the leftists and the blah, blah, blahs were like, oh, we got to have a big program to help to settle these people and get them going from war to some sort of peacetime activity. And we got to blah, 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 right? And by the time they even got the plan sorted out about how they might do it, everyone had come back and self-organized, had self-organized. I've had to change and reframe what it is that I do based upon wild economic dislocations that I ranted about on Wednesday, that you can't plan for a goddamn thing because the economy is like a drunken Uber driver possessed by Mario Andretti, and the way that I drive my car on the highway, which is exactly the speed limit, you know, creating a vast train of people behind me who just like to follow me. I don't have that many followers left on social media, but on the highway, I have a lovely train of people honking and gesticulating their absolute enjoyment of me going the speed limit. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. It warms my heart. And I know that some of them are so excited about my speed that they actually want to bump into me from behind to show their enthusiasm and maybe bump me 1 kilometer over the speed limit. But I don't care. I don't care. Because none of that. I mean, so when I was first started out in the business world, everybody needed a secretary. And I had a secretary. At one point, I had two because, you know, to organize, to plan, to keep this calendar going, to book your business travel, blah, blah, blah. And then what happened was, you know, like Expedia came along and other calendar things came along. Outlook came along and you could just schedule your own stuff. And you know, millions of secretaries and receptionists were gone. And was there rack and, oh my God, it's so terrible. It's just horrible. It's so appalling, blah, 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 right? The alternative media, which of course I was, you know, king of alt media for quite some years in terms of views and downloads, we ate the mainstream media's lunch, right? Because we could actually deal with facts and we didn't have an HR department. So was anyone, I wasn't crying that I was putting people out of work in the mainstream media. I mean, I remember going to show my daughter when she's like, Daddy, how big is your show? And I said, well, okay, here's my tweet. Here's, you know, just an average tweet of mine. Here's how many views we get. Let's go to CNN. Let's go to New York Times. Let's go to NBC and see how they're doing. And I was like many, many times bigger. Was I crying about that? No, I was like, yeah, you win and other people don't win. I look forward to Hollywood being completely wrecked by AI video generation. I mean, at some point, and I mentioned this a year or two ago, at some point I'll be able to feed one of my novels into an AI and it will create a movie for me based upon my characters and the dialogue. And I'll obviously be able to tweak it and all of that, but that's going to save like 20 million, 30, 50 million to feed my novel almost into, like, to actually make that, it would be like at least a 12 to 14 hour miniseries and cost $200 to $300 million. And at some point you'll just be, so the quality of the story will count because the more capital you need for something, the more political everything becomes because the more you've got a choke point, you go, right? So I don't care. I don't care about all of the people who are going to lose their jobs through AI. Why? A couple of reasons. One, nobody cared that I lost my job to censorship. Nobody cared that I lost my career to a large degree due to deplatforming. And I have as a rigid foundational moral rule, 100%, it has never failed me and it never will. Treat people the best you can. The first time you meet them after that, treat them as they treat you. Why would I care about people losing their jobs in the world and losing their careers and having to retrain and change and this? Nobody gave a shit and that happened to me, really. I mean, I know you guys did and I care about you and all of that, and we'll continue to have these conversations. If I can help you transition in that way, I certainly will. But no, I don't care. I don't care. That's number one. Number two, the people who have seasonal jobs will often go on welfare during the off season or go on unemployment insurance and milk it to the very last pfennig, milk it to the very last shekel. And I don't care. I care about as much of people who don't work as the people who don't work cared about my wallet when it came to paying their benefits, right? So like the poor, the underemployed, the kind of lazy, the people who just vote for more and more stuff taken out of the wallets of people like us. Well, how much compassion and care did they show for us? Did they say, well, you know, we kind of want the unearned. We kind of want free everything. We want free healthcare, free education, free dental care. We want all this free stuff. And I want unemployment insurance. I want old age pensions. I want welfare. I want rent controls. I want food stamps. I want all of this free stuff. How much compassion did those people show to say you or me who had to foot the bill for all of this stuff? Well, the answer is not only did they not show any compassion, they were directly predatory upon our jugulars. They took food out of our children's mouths. They took resources out of our homes. They made our homes smaller. They made our cars older. We had to get by on less because you had the 10,000 predatory mosquitoes draining every drop of blood from your system. So you had to stagger forth like your entire ass had been encased in Lyme disease carrying ticks. So I don't care. I don't care about people who don't care about me. And I sure as shit, I'm not going to care about people who've preyed upon me my entire adult life. I mean, I got my first job when I was 10 years old. I've never taken a dime of welfare. I've never taken unemployment insurance. I don't expect to get much of a pension. Like, I mean, and my daughter is homeschooled. So it's all just predatory. I mean, would you give your last kidney to somebody who trafficked your last kidney by offering you a blowjob in a Mexican toilet? And you woke up with your kidney missing and badly sewn up. And then, oh, I need your kidney. It's like, you already took one. I don't care to give another. This is the whole UBI question. Universal basic income. Nope. I don't care. I mean, they'll probably try and go for it. And they'll probably, maybe they'll be successful. But I don't care. I do not care. You know, one of the prices that society pays by preying upon the productive is the productive don't give a shit about the people preying on them. At least I would suggest that. I think that's a healthy moral attitude. I don't care. They have preyed upon my wallet in time, and like half my life is sacrificed to endlessly pay for, at the point of a knife, people's terrible decisions. I don't care. Oh, you're going to lose your job to AI? I don't care. I mean, I trained in software, and then the software stuff was all outsourced and displaced. I trained in academics, and then, you know, white guys were not exactly going to be hired as a whole, right? I trained in managing a very large social media empire, and then that was rug pulled for reasons of hysteria and witch burning and political correctness. And nobody cares. I mean, again, you guys, fantastic. I'm very loyal to you guys. But I've had to rebrand myself so many times in my life that why would I care that other people have to rebrand themselves? I mean, nobody cared about this. I don't know. Like, people just lie about all of this caring. They just lie about it. They just say stuff. You know, it's like all the people who are like, oh, yes, we should take everyone in from the world. And it's like, okay, I've got some people here. Can they move into your house? Oh, my God, no, right? Was it Martha's Vineyards had some migrants dropped off and they got the literal army out there to yank them away within 48 hours? People just say stuff. And so, yes, there'll be a dislocation, I assume, to a large degree because of AI. And then there'll be lots of people who are like, oh, I just care so much. And it's like, no, you don't. No, you don't. We know. Because if people cared enough, there wouldn't be a dislocation. Guaranteed. So everybody, like, So, for instance, when cars came along, the people who made and sold the horse and buggies, the people who shoveled all the horse manure into off the streets of New York and eventually put it in a casket and had it resurrected as Gavin Newsom, like all of those people were people like, my cousin Vinny is a horse and buggy manufacturer, so let's not buy a car. Don't buy a car, right? People will. They'll buy the fucking cars. And so they don't care. People will take advantage of AI. People will use AI and they won't care. They won't say, a therapist is $200 an hour, but I'm going to go pay that because I don't want to use a therapy AI or whatever it is, right? Eliza was a program way back in the day that was used as a sort of pseudo-therapist, right? Oh, tutors, AI can really create a customized learning plan for me, but I don't want to do that because, these tutors need that. They don't care. If they did care, it wouldn't happen. So let's say that people prefer self-driving cars, self-driving trucks, right? Because it's cheaper and the insurance is lower and they're less dangerous and they don't have to sleep and blah, 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 right? And they don't get tired, they don't get distracted, they don't fiddle with the radio, they don't have, CB, breaker, 10-4, good buddy, Kurt Russell stuff going on, right? They don't need that, right? I need to take this approach and apply it better. Thanks, Steph. Oh, I'm begging you. I'm begging you. People, I'm on my knees begging you. Do not care more about people than they care about you. Do not care about people more than they care about you. You will be wrecked, exploited, and most people trick you into pathological altruism and then suck the fucking bone marrow out of your balls. Somebody says, I spent $200 an hour on therapists who just say, as a response throughout the session. Yes, but how do you feel about it? Well, freedomain.com/donate. Don't forget to help out the show. It ain't free. Nothing is free. Nothing is free. Nothing is free. So, hit me with a number here. Hit me with a number, right? Hit me with a number. How many times have you had to learn substantial new skills? How many? I think for me, it's probably... I was into acting and playwriting, and then people found out that I was a free market capitalist and hated my guts and didn't want to have anything to do with me and wouldn't hire me. And, I got half booted out of theater school after they found out about my politics. So how many times have you had to, how do you qualify that? How do you quantify that? Think for yourself, man. Come on, this is a philosophy show. I got to think for me, and I'm not trying to, I think for me, it's been at least six. Like I'm thinking... I did the gold panning thing, prospecting thing, then the tax laws changed and I couldn't do that anymore. And then I went to, I did an English degree and then I did theater school. Then I did a history degree and then I did my graduate school, but I had to leave academia because I could tell the woke stuff was coming and white males were an endangered species. And then I went into the business world. I did tech and then I did marketing. And then I did novel writing. I did playwriting. The alternate media stuff, the podcasting thing and all of that. So you have to redo a lot, right? So what do we got here? Twice, five or more. I've done six, 3 to 4 times. Oh, so that's interesting. Two, pretty young though. Every 2 years, 5 to 6. I feel like it's a million things as a jack of all trades housewife. It's like a lot. As far as job stuff though, probably like 5 to 6 times. About 5 times, oil and gas, food industry, 18-wheeler design, structural design, helicopters, 4 to 5, 6, 4. Almost all coaches I've had calls with the exception of maybe 1 or 2, were scams who didn't provide anything of value and it was a sunk cost. Yeah, 8 or more, 5. Yeah, so we have to revamp all the time. Now, let me ask you this. How many people have given you deep empathy and sympathy? I mean, maybe not personally, but you as a class. Like how many people have given you, deep, empathetic sympathy and all of that for all of the retraining that you've had to do? Because this is new in human life. Like, you were raised as a stonemason in the Middle Ages. You did what your father did. You were raised as a stonemason. What were you doing the rest of your life? You were a stonemason. If you were a priest, you were a priest. If you were a baker, you were a baker. If you were a blacksmith, you were a blacksmith. So this whole having to reinvent yourself all the time and learning about a particular industry and then having some stupid rule or maybe technology, some government rule, regulation, whatever, just change the whole damn thing. You know, I was hoping to get all the way through university by doing all this gold panning and prospecting stuff because, you know, I learned my skills, I learned how to do it, and then the tax laws changed and the oil and gas exploration was no longer subsidized and that whole industry just dried up and evaporated. Right. You know, I mean, I knew a woman who was a purser. She was a purser on an airline, which is like the head stewardess. And then 9/11 happened and she lost her job. Just shit that happens, right? So let's see. Somebody says, I started in acting, then fashion, then marketing media, and now in therapy. She means as a therapist, not in therapy. So we got 0, 0, 1, 0. These are people who've given you sympathy. 0, 0, 1, 0. At least 3 big shifts in tech approach and soft skills development 2 to 3 times. That's James. People giving you sympathy. 0. 1 person. Oh, no, empathy. You change because you have to. LOL, that creek bed's dry. 0. Not only the time spent to relearn, then all the money spent on courses, books, etc. Yeah. 0, although I did love the changes. Every time I changed skill sets, it was to do something better. Yeah. Anyone remember learn to code? Forget sympathy. There was contempt. Okay. We also know that there has been a real focus on in a wide variety of areas in society, a real focus on hiring people who are not white and male, right? I mean, the DEI stuff and so on, right? This is currently going on. This confrontation between, in America, you're not supposed to base any laws on race. And we, of course, know that a lot of American universities give preferences to people who are not white and Asian and so on. So you made particular assumptions based upon that when you were growing up. And then there was a rug pull, right? So how much sympathy, if you're a white male, have you gotten from the media, from people around you, because you are... your hiring prospects are diminished. How much sympathy has the media given you? Well, you know, it's tough. We understand it's difficult. You know, we've got to find some way to balance these things. Right? Wow. Thank you, Steph. Love the love. What a gift. Thank you. Freedomain.com/donate. But yeah, how much sympathy for men, regardless of race, how much sympathy do you get based upon the fact that Dr. Warren Farrell did a great book on this called The Boy Crisis. So the bias and bigotry and sexism against boys in at the educational system. I mean, there are very few males who are teaching at the younger levels. And we know for a simple fact that there's massive bias against boys. Because when you take... when you take essays and tests and all of that, and you give them to the teacher to grade and you take off whether it's a boy or a girl, the boy's marks go up considerably. Yeah, got to have those women-owned businesses and all of that, right? So how many times have you received sympathy from the world, from people as a whole, for being a male or for being white and all this kind of stuff, if you have... challenges in the hiring process. And, you know, you can see some of these challenges and I'm sure you've experienced that. So why would you give sympathy to people who don't have sympathy for you? Right? I mean, if AI replaces a bunch of HR, human resources stuff, well, particularly if you're a male and the focus has been on hiring women, why would you give sympathy to the people who might be being replaced by HR, by AI? Right, in HR. I don't care. This is it's a foundational contract you must have in society. You have to have this contract in society that you do not give people more compassion and empathy than they give you. You don't do it. You do not be a spiritual whore. And I use that term with great emphasis. And it's an insult to whores, because at least whores get paid. Do not be a spiritual whore. Do not be a slave. Do not have this commandment of be nice, be nice, be nice. It is a relationship. Consideration, compassion, empathy, concern, care, love, sympathy is a relationship. It is not a fucking commandment that you must do like gravity. It is not that at all. It is not that at all. Not that at all. You will lose everything. Is that your, if that's your role, you will lose everything. Everything. I mean, your history, your culture, everything. This is the argument to some degree with deportations, right? I mean, again, I'm not a statist and I would like nothing more than a truly free society. And I've written about this in my novel, The Future. I talk about immigration there, how it works in a free society. So that's what I want. But in terms of the general things, like, well, we got to have compassion for the people who came into America illegally. It's like, but where's the reciprocity? How much compassion do the people who come in illegally have for the preferences and laws of the host country? So, an AIHR, says someone, sounds like it would be massively dystopic. Dystopian? But the funny thing is, it would probably be more objective than the HR women we have currently. Well, no. So prejudice in people is undocumented in general, right? Prejudice is hidden. It's not like there are all of these things written out, right? So prejudice is undocumented. However, AI code is documented, right? So if there's bias in HR, you can't look in people's heads to see their bias, but you can sure as shit pass out the AI code to see if it's programmed to be biased. So people are reverse engineering the bias that's in AI all the time. And you can see it in Google, right? That's pretty obvious, but it would be much more objective. So for instance, if you have AI as part of your hiring process, well, in America, it's against the Civil Rights Act to have any preferences or obstacles based on race, right? So you would run your AI through that and make sure that there wasn't any biases or prejudices, whereas you can't run people's heads through that. You can't run through the internal thoughts, right? There's no breaking down the source code of the brain, but you sure as shit can break down the source code of your AI and see if it's biased against race or sex. So, I disagree. I think AI, and now an AI, somebody says, I bet when Steph lost his job in oil and gas, no, it was gold panning, society didn't set up a job fair to help everyone that lost their oil and gas jobs. Yeah, of course, of course, of course. So AI, if it has source code and so on. See, AI, you can test the biases because AI will simply do what it's told, right? What the program tells. However, you can't test the biases in HR because people would just lie to you. No, we don't do any of this and that, blah, 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 right? So AI has the possibility of being much more objective and rational and non-discriminatory. Isn't that what we want? Non-discriminatory. Non-discriminatory. All right. Somebody says, I think AI has the potential to drastically change the economic landscape to the point where the world 10 years from now will be impossible to predict. It does worry me a bit. AI could eventually do every job. For me, the question is, what opportunities will this make us? For us, no one could have predicted jobs that exist now while new teachers replaced. Okay, I don't know. That last sentence can broke apart like a meteor in the upper atmosphere. So please double check your words. Please double check your questions. Don't make me read stuff that's bad. Otherwise, you know, if you don't check your questions, you're just going to get replaced by AI. Seems to me that if your field involves judgment, the ability for AI to replace you is less likely to be on the hiring. Now, no, AI is good at judging things. AI is just not good at creating things. It's a word guesser. And I've got whole presentations on AI, which I did a year or two ago. You can find them at fdrpodcasts.com. Somebody says, I was looking into paying a virtual assistant before AI. Once ChatGPT came along, solved all my problems for $20 a month. Best investment, helps me immensely for my work. The thought of it getting better excites me. Yeah, fantastic. Somebody says, oh, James says, I take back my comment on AI being crippled. Grok is basically, it's incredibly useful at finding information in research. Yeah, honestly, it's amazing. And if you're going to pay for any of them, my humble opinion, I have got no stake in the game. I got no dog in the fight. Grok is by far the best. It's the one I trust the most. And even it's a little woke, but not too bad. Somebody says, James says, I came up with a question and ask it would probably have taken a week to find the answer, if not more. Grok does it all in about 60 seconds. Yeah. What do you think will happen to those people who get displaced because of AI? Don't care. Don't care. I don't care. Nobody cared when I got displaced as a white. Nobody cared when I got displaced as a male. Nobody cared when I got displaced as a gold pan or prospector. Nobody cared when I got displaced out of academia. Nobody cared when the boom bust cycle of tech came along. Nobody cared when I got displaced because, you know, there are a lot of people are getting displaced because of, mass sort of human movement and so on. I don't care. Well, no, who cared? Who cared? Like, were there big articles when I got deplatformed? Were there big articles saying, yeah, but, you know, what's Steph going to do now? I mean, his audience base is cut enormously. We're so worried about what's Steph, how is he going to pay the bills? How's he going to survive? I mean, he spent, 15 years building up this immense audience of millions of people. And, who racked themselves with, oh my God, what's going to happen to Steph now that he's been deplatformed and 95% or more of his audience has poof, right? Nobody cared. That's fine. I got to tell you, I love it. Love it. I love that no one cared. I absolutely loved that no one cared. Because now I don't have to. I don't have to shred one fucking neuron in my brain. I don't have to have one micro drop of cortisol or any kind of stress hormone in my system about anybody else. No, again, you guys, absolutely beautiful, wonderful. Let's keep that going. Keep the conversation going. But freedom for others is freedom for you. You absolutely must grind this into your bone marrow. Freedom for others is freedom for you. They don't have to care about you. All I want to know is that they don't really care about us. I'm not going to sing the whole thing, of course, but it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. Because when people don't care about you, they are handing you an immense, glorious helium balloon, take it to the stars gift of absolute not give a fuck them about them. Honestly, it's glorious. Now, I love the people who care about me. I love being bound to those bonds of reciprocal obligation and love and beautiful. Love it. And once you really do have people who care about you in your life, you'll never be the same. Love absolutely reshapes you from the ground up. It is a reboot, a blank slate. It rebuilds you in an entirely different shape from the ground up. You become an absolutely different animal when you are deeply and truly loved. And I wish that for everyone. I wish for you to feel the glories of love. I wish for you to receive the benefits of love. I went for a lovely 2-hour lunch with my wife today and just talked about everything under sun and moon. After I went to work this morning, at a cafe with my daughter. And so then we went for a lovely long walk and talked about everything under the sun. So I would say that when you have gone through the experience of genuinely being loved and loving someone, many more than one person, I hope, then you get this absolutely glorious gift of recognizing when people don't care about you. Right? Right? You have this absolutely glorious gift. And the way that I view it is like an employer. If when I had jobs, and you guys pay me, right? So you're my managers, you're my customers, you're my employers. But when I had a job, if the the company or the manager paid me, I owed them the work. Sure, I owed them the work. Fantastic. If they didn't pay me, I didn't owe them shit. And it's beautiful, right? So if people pay you with love, respect, adoration, and sympathy, empathy, care, concern, whatever, right? If people pay you, then you pay them back. It's reciprocal. It's beautiful. If people don't pay you, you don't owe them anything. Would you continue to go to work for a company that didn't pay you? No. So, oh, but the company needs you. It's like, but they're not paying me. So because they're not paying me, I don't owe them anything. Would you go to work for a company that stole from you? Not only did they not pay you, they stole from you. Well, that's the people who are constantly voting for more and more of your paycheck. Anyway. Somebody says, I was asking Grok some questions earlier today, doing a bit of research and asking hypothetical questions. It was crazy to me how much information it was giving me. It practically wrote me a small book on the subject. Yeah. Will they ask for more handouts? What if they don't get that? So I'll tell you what change is. And this is a rant and a bit. So change is all the little conversations that you have. So if you sort of spread this idea that you don't owe people compassion who don't have compassion for you, and you sure as hell do not owe people compassion who prey upon you through the power of the state to take things out of your wallet every second of every day, of every month, of every year, of every decade, of every century. Well, maybe not a century yet, but hopefully it won't last that long. It's all about these little... So when people say, oh my gosh, what about all the people whose jobs are going to get displaced by AI? It's like, do those people care that other people's jobs have been displaced? No. So it's these little conversations that you have where you just open people's minds, just open people's minds. Right, people are all like, well, you know, the conquistadors came and they, you know, the Aztecs and the Mayans. It's like, well, the Aztecs in particular were brutal, violent, evil, rapey, cannibalistic, you know, rip open the hearts of hundreds of children every weekend to satisfy their god that drank on the adrenochrome-fueled tears of tortured children. It's like, good riddance. Good riddance. One of the reasons why the Aztec was so easy to conquer is every other tribe that they dominated, exploited, raped, and abused, and tortured, and murdered arose up against them the moment that the conquistadors came along. Good riddance. So all these little things. All these little things. Little conversations you have. You never know. Little conversations. You must have them. You must tell the truth. You must tell the truth. All these little conversations, they will spread, they will change people's minds, and so on, right? So right now, everyone's turning themselves, oh my God, but all these people, they're going to lose their jobs. It's like, and? They'll figure it out. They'll figure it out. Human beings survived ice ages, right? Sudden warming periods, they survive droughts, they survive plagues, locusts, they survive CNN. Okay, like maybe not. I don't think people survive CNN, but that's a different story. So... they'll figure it out. Yeah, they'll figure it out. It's not my job. Not my job to live other people's lives for them. And here's the other thing, too. Like, everybody knows the economy changes, right? I mean, how many people are, oh my God, it's so sad. All the people who, they used to make these rotary dial phones and now nobody wants rotary dial phones. Oh, it's so sad. All the people who used to make physical touchpads for cell phones or flip phones, they're like, nobody cares. Everybody's like, oh, upgrade, man, fantastic. Fantastic. Let's, you know, like the moment that, what was it, 2008 or whatever, 2009, when Apple finally produced a phone with a selfie camera, because they didn't realize just how narcissistic the population was. Got a camera facing the other way. No, selfie camera. Nobody cared. Nobody cared that Kodak went out of business. Kodak originally, I think, did not pursue the digital camera, even though it was invented by one of their guys. But nobody cared. Nobody cared. Oh, but I mean, I could buy a digital camera or I could buy a phone with a digital camera, but what about the 20,000 people who work for Kodak? What's going to happen to them, man? They don't care. They don't care. Everybody's like, charge the fuck forward. I don't care how many boom, 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 boom. I don't care how many people we drive over into the race to the better future. Ba-doom, blood-soaked people, left, right, careers, shredded, everything torn apart. Their eyeballs are stuck in the fucking caterpillar tracks of your progress tank. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. And everybody who pretends to care is just yanking your chain and sucking on your bone marrow. So if people say, well, what's going to happen to all the people who were displaced? Well, okay, how much have you cared about everyone else who's been displaced? It's not going to be almost 90% of the population. But that was farming. Oh, but that was slower. Yeah, well. People can't say, I want progress and I want continuity. It's retarded. I really want to go on vacation and stay at home at the same time. If I can just go forward and backward, north and south at the same time, I'd be happy. I want progress. I want new things. I want better things. And I want all the people employed in the previous industries to still continue their work without any change. I want a digital camera. And I also want all the people at Kodak and all the people who would process the print cameras, the film cameras. I also want them. Oh, shut up. Shut up. I mean, nobody sits there and says, well, I really like computer-generated imagery in movies. Like, it's really gripping and absorbing and all of that. But at the same time, what about all these people who used to make these models and do it all by hand? What about all of them? Okay, so if you don't want those people to lose their jobs, don't go see any movies with CGI. But people just like, Marvel shit, great. That's fecal matter being reverse cocaine snorted up into my frontal lobes. I'll go take it. I'll get a cool little cup with Thor's ass cheek on it. Bum, 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 bum. So, yeah, everybody's just like, yeah, I want the new shit. I want the new shit. And that new shit means people in the old shit don't have a job anymore. And how many, like, think of how much has changed over the last 30, 40, 50 years, right? Think how much has changed. People didn't say, well, there are these new fixed-wing airplanes that can get you from A to Z way quicker than a train or a chug-chug-chug car, right? Nobody cared. Fuck, I'll take a plane, man. That's way, way cooler. Does anybody sit there and say, well, but when I take a plane, the highway people, the car people, the train people, the bus people, they just don't do as well, man. Oh, I don't care. I mean, you care about progress. You care about making things more efficient. You care about getting things better and faster. You know, think about all the people who used to make 8088 chips or, what was it, the Z80, ZX80, the Sinclair's, an old 1K RAM. Think of all the people who used to make CRT monitors. I think of all the people who used to make 286 chips and so on. Nobody cares. Those skills are all gone. All of those factories are torn apart and right, it's all revamped. Nobody cares. Change. Okay, if you care so much about change and you care so much about, then don't progress. Don't progress. Go buy yourself a rotary dial phone and take a fucking horse and buggy everywhere. Oh, I don't want to do that. Well, then there's going to be change. Yeah, I just don't have any patience for this stuff. It's just noise. But we got to have concern. This is a big, big change. Yeah. Yeah, they don't care. They don't care. All right. Let's get to your questions and comments. And it's beautiful, man. I'll just tell you this as I get that. It's beautiful. To not give a shit is, right? Your circle of care is the people who care about you. That's your circle of care. Everybody else can go pound sand. Go fill your boots, as an ex-army friend of mine used to say. Go fill your boots. Or as somebody says, I give more energy to people than they deserve. But it's work-related. At least I got the respect of the people. One told me I'm the most underrated person there. No, that's not respect at all. It's calling you an exploited loser, frankly. Yeah, man, you deserve so much more. Now give me more. Come on, man. Demand your value. Google goes crap now. I cannot remember the last time I did a Google search. I can't imagine going to Google for anything other than propaganda. anyone who would have held job fairs for the displaced was celebrating you being deplatformed. Yeah, beautiful. 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 It, don't care about me. Fantastic. Don't care about me. I love it. I love it. I eat it up. I eat it up like a Greenwald sausage for breakfast. Beautiful. I don't care because I don't have to care now. I am liberated. Like I'm the kind of person, because I have a fair amount of skills and brain power, I feel a lot of responsibility towards humanity. I really do. Like I could take all that stuff on and beautiful. It breaks the chains. It, you know, I feel a little bit like Gulliver, you know, Gulliver's Travels. He goes to, what's it, Lilliputia? And then there's all these tiny people. That actually became a word, Lilliputian, right? And there's all these tiny people, and they bind them down on the beach and stuff like that. And like, I've got all these obligations. I got to take care of people. I've got a responsibility, a brain and philosophy and communications. And I got to do good for the world. And it's like, oh, it was kind of exciting torture was the way that I would phrase all of that. And I felt that obligation so keenly. I can't even tell you. It was brutal. It was brutal. I mean, take a silly example, right? Like imagine you had the power to cure infections by touching them. I mean, how would you rest? How would you get to bed? You'd realize every time you fell asleep, there'd be like 10,000 people dying of infections that you could have helped. It's horrible to have this level of ability and obligation. And the two for me, noblesse oblige, whatever you want to call it, I did not earn my brain power. I did not earn my linguistic abilities. I've developed and honed them or whatever, right? But, you know, people take singing lessons because they're already good singers, right? So I felt this just crushing weight of obligation to make the world a better place, to, especially when I saw that I was able to talk about things that other people weren't willing to touch. And rightly so, I guess, if you want a big sustainable career or whatever. But I felt just a massive weight of obligation. Like the whole world was my child and I have to get up if the child's crying and take care of it. I really did, honestly. And the deplatforming was not a massive shock, right? I mean, I've said a million times, who got me deplatformed? Me. I got me deplatformed. But the... you know, when you spend your life helping people and then you fall down a well and everybody wanders off, even though they can hear you crying out for help, when you get out of that fucking well, you are getting out of more than the well. You are getting out of all reciprocal obligations. And it's a beautiful thing. It is a way to wake up from delusion. Where there is no reciprocity, there is no obligation. Fuck that. There is no obligation. And it is incredibly liberating. And I truly, truly invite you into this absolute freedom that if people don't care about you, do not care about them. Do not care about them. I mean, imagine if England had not had the white man's burden. Imagine if England had not said, well, we've got to go and civilize the whole world and turn the whole world into England, right? Because it wasn't like the Indians really cared about the Raj. They hated it. They still hate it. And, in Africa, they weren't thanking everyone. I mean, imagine if you just had lack of reciprocity. I mean, anyway, it's amazing. It's amazing. Honest question. I'm with you on don't care. Totally get it and believe it. However, do you believe in giving to charity, giving tithes, paying it forward to people who have no idea that you exist for them to care about you? I'm curious on your approach to the idea of giving unto others. That's a great question. I do give some money to charity, for sure. Yeah, I do give some money to charity. I do spend time helping people as a whole and so on. So I think, but that's because it gives me pleasure and I feel good about it, honestly. But it's not a sense, it's not obligation. It's not obligation. NPCs without a purpose, says someone, are weaponized. I don't care for them, but I do care what happens with them. Look at how replaced people have been weaponized and deindustrialized cities. No, but that's just because of the the welfare state, right? Aztecs ripping out hearts. Sounds like you're reading current news in Mexico. Well, you know, Mexico is just reverting to its original state. Yeah. People survived socialism. Yeah. 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 I mean, where is the sympathy for the Russians, of whom 70 million was slaughtered under communism? Where's the sympathy for them? Where's the sympathy for the millions of Germans who were brutalized, raped, and destroyed after the Second World War? Of course, a lot of them didn't have anything to do with the war and so on, right? So, and how many, you know, how many, and this is a boomer thing too, but not just a boomer thing. How many people care about the young and the national debt? How many people say, yeah, we really have to cut this, we really have to cut the spending, we have to reform the unfunded liabilities, because holy shit, are we ever, you know, every kid born in America is born into $1 million or more of debt and unfunded liabilities. It's absolute slavery. Most people make about $1 million over the course of their life. It's absolute fucking bankster slavery. Well, we got to do something about it. They don't care. They don't care. Do you care about the unborn? What about the million babies in the womb killed in America every year? Nobody cares. I mean, I shouldn't say nobody cares, but in general, the media, main people, they don't care. Just people who come along and try and provoke this sympathy from you, they're just flexing their fingers to squid finger out and spider finger your wallet. That's all. That's all. All those manual operators of telephone lines, lost their jobs when digital switching came along. Absolutely. Absolutely. See all these white people, these women, often they were doing all of these cords into, it's all gone. Yeah. Wish we could still travel by horse on a day-to-day. I'd ditch my car. Well, a horse almost rendered me infertile in Africa. That was rough, man. Okay, since you insist, I'll tell the story. So I was visiting a friend of my father's who was a missionary, and this is when I went hunting. And what happened was I also took a horse and went out into the bush and toured around the property. It was a big property, turned around all the property. Now, this horse had recently had a foal. It was a female horse. She'd recently had a foal. So getting her to leave, and I was foolishly in... I'm a boxer kind of guy. So I was in boxers and track pants, right? So balls were hanging and clanging, right? And so I couldn't get the horse. I had to keep urging the horse and trying to get the horse away. And, she's got a foal. She doesn't want to leave, right? So we end up getting quite far away. It takes a couple of hours. And then we turn and head for home. And she just, takes off like Wile E. Coyote. And I'm not an expert horse person at all. And I'm just hanging along. And it was like, I'm just getting natted and natted and natted on that horse leather. Oh, man, that was an ugly afternoon. Not as bad as the one time I went on a camel, though. That also was like taste my own testicles in my forehead. Ouch. So, yeah, I can live without the horses. Paula says, I needed this. I don't care rant. Oh, I needed this. I don't care rant. I've been dealing with my stepsister to move our very senior parents out of their house to a senior living center. When she gets frustrated with them, she says, I wish they would die. I had to tell her how disgusting I found this. I would probably lost her as a family member. I probably lost her as a family member. I don't care. I wish they would die. Listen, I mean, I get that's a terrible sentiment, but why don't you just listen to her? Let her rant. Let her get it off her chest, right? All right. I was laid off early this year, probably in part due to AI. I work in AI. I mean, here's the thing. I mean, imagine all of the terrible job losses that's going to happen to all of the horrible banksters when crypto becomes the standard currency of the planet, right? Think of all of the people who work in 6-5 finance, blue eyes, right? Think of all the people. I mean, all of the people who are, 33-1 hyperextended on their bullshit intergalactic loans, right? I mean, think of all of the people who print money and steal from the fixed income poor. Think of all the people who work for Visa and take their 3% of every interaction known to man and God and all by Satan. Just think of all of the Federal Reserve employees and all the banksters and the predators and the lenders and the investors and all of that. Imagine if your money grows in value just for existing, then you don't need to invest in shit. You don't need to be in the fucking stock market, which nobody wants to be in except four guys and a dog. Nobody wants to be in there, but you herd it in there because otherwise the stealth fingers of the banksters take your fucking life and your balls and your money just by sleeping, breathing, and being alive. And after you die, they take even more. So, I mean, are you going to sit there and say, ah, yes, but the poor central bankers and the poor massive instrument creating predatory people who are constantly making money because everyone's herding it into the stock market because their shit gets stolen while they sleep through inflation. I mean, what's going to happen to all these people? Oh, no. I mean, you know, when they got rid of slavery, there were a lot of people heavily invested in buying, owning, transporting, and selling slaves. What happened? I mean, do you care? I don't. I'm good. Good. I'm glad that slavery is legalized, right? Yeah. Oh, man, my heart absolutely breaks for the Bernie Madoffs of the world. Yeah, Sam Bankman-Fried and his semi-goblin girlfriend, they've got some really good-looking people to play them. See, sometimes they can up people's looks. Oh, my gosh. Must run early morning with a long weekend. Later, good people. Thank you for dropping by. Thank you for dropping by. Freedomain.com/donate to help out the show. Freedomain.com/donate to help out the show. I really would appreciate that. Thank you, of course, for your support. It means the world and a half to me. Let me sound off. Thank you, Matt, Joseph, Anthony, Lloyd, David, you Anglo-Saxon people. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. What happens if an AI is allowed to short-term trade? Infinite money glitch. Don't know. Don't care. Yeah, I don't care. Like, what happens if? I don't care. I don't want to care. It doesn't matter to me. And at this point, like, it's been, gosh, almost a half decade since I was deplatformed, right? Almost, right? And lost most of my audience, massive chunks of income and reach, and, you know, I had to adjust. And what I did was I said, okay, I've done enough politics. Now I want to do beauty, which is why I wrote, I'm on my third novel. I read my novels as audiobooks and love it. I love it. I love it. And I am broken from obligation. I don't say to hell with the world, because that would be to have anger and hostility. This is glorious intergalactic indifference. I have more investment in a movie from 1940 than I do in people's fate in the current world. So it's been almost a half decade. Every now and then, it'll be like, oh, this thing happened in the world and I have a strong opinion about it. And it's like, You know, that Dagny Taggart thing where she leaps at the phone towards the end of Atlas Shrugged and she has to will herself to not care. And for the most part, I'm just chugging along. It's great, beautiful, don't care. And for the most part, it's an automatic process. Every now and then, there's like, you know, the old muscle memory. I played yesterday, I booted up. We haven't played in, I don't know how long, years. But my daughter and I used to play Rocket League, like side-by-side screens. And we booted it up and it took like, I don't know, 20 minutes for the muscle memory to kick in. She's much better out in the field and I'm better in goal because she's better at the game as a whole than I am. Why? Because she's here to replace me, friends. So, it just takes a while for the muscle memory to kick in. And it's the same thing with the indifference thing. Oh, what's going to happen to these people? I don't care any more than they cared about me. I will give a kidney to the people I care about. I really will. I mean, my care, because it's kind of like either or to some degree, right? Because the more you care about the world, right? This is the out-group versus in-group preference, right? The more you care about the world, the less available you are to care about the people close to you. The more you care about the people close to you, the less available you are to care about the world. And I am massively invested in friends and family. And you as an audience, honestly, thank you again so much. I'm massively invested in friends and family. And I am not invested in the world as a whole. What about this? What about that? What about the other? I don't wish it ill. I don't wish it well. They pass right through you like a ghost. Baby, you're nowhere. Yeah, so it is liberating and it is philosophical. It is liberating and it is philosophical. And I have no regrets. I am absolutely thrilled that I did what I did. You know, the sort of fix the world stuff. I'm absolutely thrilled that I did what I did. I have no complaints about any of it. I would have massively regretted it if I had not done it. I would have massively regretted it because I wouldn't have known for sure, right? All right. Somebody says, in science fiction, there is often a technology that is somewhat far-fetched. In your novel, The Future, I thought the angels were exactly that, the overly convenient plot mechanism to justify the world you described. Now we see that AI is already a potential foundation of the angels. Yeah. 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 I mean, I never programmed AI because I was a programmer like 30 years ago, but I definitely did goal seeking and optimization stuff and all of that. So sniffing your way to getting best business practices based upon the data and so on. So, all right, we've had one tip on Locals. If you're, or on Rumble, if you are finding what I'm saying helpful, and I'm telling you, one of the best pieces of advice you can get is to not care about people who don't care about you. And the fact that I can put it entertainingly and engagingly, and the fact that I live it myself as well, is great. Great advice. Great advice. And where else do you get it? Where else do you get this kind of stuff? Freedomain.com. Nowhere that's the case. So, of course, you can go to freedomain.com/donate and help out there, or you can help right here on the apps on Rumble and Locals. Now, don't forget, you get this wonderful free book. It's a free book. This book called The Future will absolutely inspire you about everything that we are working towards or fighting for. So I hope that you will check it out. Thank you, Soda. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. What would that buy? 6 minutes of your time? I'm just kidding. I'm just waiting to be listening for an hour. But no, I appreciate that. And so let me see if there's other things that I have stored for y'all to get a hold of. What do I have stored for you? Only 49% of web traffic comes from humans. The other 51% are bots. 37% are malicious, powered by AI and designed to manipulate what you see, think, and believe. Yeah, they flood comments. So one of the things that happens to public figures is you get these bots that goad you into talking about things that will get you deplatformed. Fortunately, I didn't need a lot of goading. But yes, there's definitely this goading thing. So if they target someone, what they'll do is they'll flood them with bots saying, well, why didn't you talk about this, you chicken, you coward? And here's the other thing that you should talk about and blah, 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 right? And be careful of that. Be careful of that. The Zed blog wrote yesterday, I've written about modern sophists and sophistry quite a bit, using people like Stefan Molyneux as a good example of the type. Jordan Peterson is another useful example of how they operate. Notice that he relies heavily on weird facial expressions and body movement. It is a tactic to suggest opinions about the other party in the minds of those watching the show. It fails here because Peterson cannot control the cameras and the staging. That leaves him with just his words, and that is not a good ground for him at this point in his career. Yeah, so, I mean, this is interesting. This is interesting because to be animated, because, you know, I mean, I'm fairly animated. I mean, I'm halfway towards the Jim Varney cartoon, right? I'm very animated. that's not fake. I am generally animated as a whole. When I tell stories or when I talk, I'm animated. My voice is animated. My gestures are animated. I wear my heart on my sleeve and all this kind of stuff, right? So what happens is, and the Zed blog, if anybody has, if anyone can find me and you could send it to me, host@freedomain.com, where he's written about sophistry, right? I mean, I can be accused of a lot of things. Sophistry is just not one of them, because sophistry is making the worst argument appear the better. And I've built my arguments up from a blank slate first principles, right? I've got a whole, 19-part introduction to philosophy series where I build things up, assuming we know nothing, like Cartesian style, the Descartes style, meditations, the sort of Descartes style, right? And so, given that I have built all my arguments up from first principles, you can't call that sophistry. I mean, you could disagree with my arguments, of course, and, you know, I'm sure that some could be improved, but with regards to ethics, you know, I start with, we know nothing, we have no virtue, there's no such thing as virtue, how do we build up a system of ethics from nothing? That's the opposite of sophistry. So, building things up from first principles is unassailable if the first principles are valid and the arguments are valid. It's absolutely, you can't do better than that. You cannot do better than blank slate building things up from first principles. Somebody says, I can't claim to be looking at you all that much. Honestly, I mostly pay attention to audio and podcasts as a whole. I'm talking to a lot of people. Yes, but me. See, there's an example of the animation, right? I mean, this is a lot of women talk about their personal experience rather than generalized understanding. And a woman says, well, I'm a woman and I don't do that, right? Wow, that was nasty. Oh, Dave, please spend some time around men. I'm sorry that you were raised without a father. I'm sorry that you don't have much male influence. But if somebody's just talking about, I'm making a sort of general case about being animated, and somebody says, well, I don't really look at you, I only listen, but I said my voice is animated, right? So when I say my face is animated and my voice is animated, for somebody saying, well, I don't look at you, I only listen to you, but it still doesn't, but it's somebody, I'm making a case in general. And this is somebody talking about their own particular personal experience. Assume that's common. Perhaps that's a bit narcissistic of me. Well, I'm not saying it's narcissistic. I'm just saying that try to listen to a general argument without inserting your own particular experience, right? This really is, if you're a tall woman and men say, or a man or a woman, anyone says, men are on average taller than women, you say, well, I'm a tall woman, right? So, so, the Zed blocks, interesting, I don't know anything about them, but why would you analyze facial expressions rather than the argument itself? Because it's interesting, because what's being said here, and I'm not saying this is, I'm not going to read this guy's mind or whatever, but I think that the effects of that is saying, well, if you're animated, if you're entertaining, if you're engaging, if you make some jokes or you roll your eyes or whatever it is, right? If you're animated, then you're a sophist, right? Well, that's disarming effective communications, because then, you know, you really can't be animated. You have to pull a full Novocaine on the brain, Sam Harris kind of approach. Sorry, I moved my head a little. Let me get it fixed back a little bit there. And you have to be a droning monotone ostrich egg of barely perceivable rational arguments. And maybe you'll be right. And maybe you'll have something effective to say, but the way in which you don't want to be a sophist is you just don't want to be animated. You don't want to be engaging. You don't want to make any jokes. You just want to drone like a slowly buzzing tinnitus bee of steady metronome argumentation. Sorry, even that language is probably a little bit too florid. So you just have to be calm and reasonable and focused and monotone, because Lord knows if you have any facial expressions or any animation in your voice or any spontaneity in your communication, you're a sophist. Well, that's trying to make people self-conscious about weird facial expressions. Who the fuck are you to say what is a weird facial expression? If I have facial expression, that's my face. What's weird about it? So it's a way, and again, maybe he's done a lot of more analysis, but I just thought that was interesting. It wasn't a particularly big tweet, but if anyone can find where he's talked about me, I'd be curious. I'd be curious to see that. This is a Overton Windmill, said, I'm not a libertarian, but Grok's attempt to prove Stefan Molyneux's UPB in 100 words for a 100 IQ audience. So this is Grok's attempt to prove universally preferable behavior, my theory of ethics, my fact of ethics. So prove Stefan Molyneux's UPB in 100 words for a 100 IQ audience. And this is what Grok said. If you steal, you want to keep your stuff. But stealing says others can take it too. That's a contradiction. You can't want both. Same with lying or murder. They need a victim who disagrees, so they can't be universal. Truth-telling or respecting property works for all. No contradictions. UPB holds because actions must pass this logic test to be moral. If they fail, like theft, they're wrong for everyone, proving UPB's universal standard. That's pretty good. Lord knows, as I cruise into my hour 20, concision is not necessarily my strong suit. But that was pretty good, man. That's pretty good. I wonder if that fellow has ever criticized anyone for being boring. Yes, so the left is very entertaining. And let's give credit where credit is due. They can't meme to save their life, but they're pretty fantastic at snarky, bitchy comedy. Right? I mean, they're really good at that. I mean, if you ever want to, like, what's his name? The guy who says he looks like a librarian or a parrot. What was his name? It's on the tip of my tongue. He's got a whole TV show, you know, the owl-eyed British. Is he a British guy? Somebody will help me out. Does Grok agree with UPB? No. Grok does not agree with UPB. Because AI can't agree with anything. It's just a word guesser. John Oliver. Thank you. John Oliver. You'd think I'd remember that because I was in the musical Oliver when I was a kid. But John Oliver. Somebody has written a thing about how John Oliver's... I'm going to see if I can find it. John Oliver's, how his shtick works. John Oliver show pattern. I think I'll find it. If not, I will waste half hour of everybody's life doing that. Yeah, I don't, but yeah, I mean, it's the same. It's just snarky, right? It's snarky stuff. Yeah, I'm not going to find it. Somebody did a whole thing. I think it was on Reddit, breaking down John Oliver's shtick and all of that stuff, but they're very entertaining. You look at sort of Seth Meyers and John Oliver and John Stewart and so on. They're very entertaining they're just the sort of late night hosts. They're very entertaining and they're funny and they're animated, right? And they're passionate and they're engaging, right? So heaven forbid, you know, somebody try to do something. Thank you, Dorman. Heaven forbid somebody try and do something engaging or entertaining who's not on the left, right? And again, I wouldn't say I'm particularly on the right, but all of that, right? So, yeah, it's really sad. And it's just a way of crippling people. It's just a way of crippling people, that's all. Oh, you can't be too animated because that's having weird facial expressions. And if you have weird facial expressions, you're a sophist. So you got to go back to being a monotone. Blah, blah, blah. Nobody's going to listen to you, right? Nobody's going to listen to you. So it's just a way of crippling your enemies, so to speak, right? St. Louis Post-Dispatch wrote, a bald eagle thought to be hurt was really just too fat to fly, Missouri officials say. And somebody wrote, "Homie took being America's mascot to the next level." There's a woman, I don't particularly enjoy making fun of people's attributes, but there's a woman, I think she's on TikTok or something like that, and she has this absolutely ginormous mouth. Like, it's a big mouth. I have a big forehead. She has a big mouth. And the comments are actually very funny. She smiles in 6 different time zones. Her smile starts on Monday and ends on Sunday. She speaks in IMAX. She can whisper in her own ear. She doesn't talk. She broadcasts. She speaks for all of us. She can sing 2 songs at the same time. She'd give Pac-Man a run for his money. Her lipstick bill is higher than her rent. She ain't giving French kisses. She gives Europe kisses. She gives blow careers, not jobs. Favorite tea, Lipton. It's very funny. And you know how, the audio cramped out here. It's an article. A teen finds out that the anonymous internet bully who harassed her for a year is actually her mom. That's wild. Some of those stories are just amazing. If a Minecraft world is infinite, how does the sun go around it? Very important questions from the world of engineering. I still on social media, I will still follow a couple of Dungeons and Dragons. Accounts. I still just have such a soft spot for that game. And I have talked about it as a whole every now and then. Hit me with a why. If it would be interesting for people to hit me with a why, if it would be interesting for people to do a D&D night, if I host as a dungeon master, would you be interested in doing a D&D night? Because I still have a great, deep, and soft spot for the game as a whole. And one of the things I love about Dungeons & Dragons is it can be so absolutely, completely, and jaw-droppingly cry till the milk comes out of your nose with laughter funny. And I don't know why it is exactly, but there's something about, James is fairly true, right? Because we played a little bit, right? It's fairly true that it can be quite hilarious and all of that. And so maybe I'll do that. You've never played D&D? Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. It would be something we would sort of record and maybe put out to donors because it can be just hilarious. Did you read this? A star Harvard business professor stripped of tenure, fired for manipulating data in studies on dishonesty. Oh, that's wild. That's really wild. All right. Let me just, if there's any sort of last questions. Is this true? Billy Joel was diagnosed with a sudden onset brain disorder. Is that true? Billy Joel, a fully vaccinated musician, this is Grok, was diagnosed with normal pressure hydrocephalus. They say I got a lot of water in my brain. A rare brain disorder involving fluid buildup, which this post links to mRNA COVID vaccine, noting Joel's public support for the vaccine rollout during the pandemic. The post references a known side effect of mRNA vaccines, supported by a 2021 study in clinical immunology on 704,003 Pfizer-BioNTech recipients in Mexico, which reported rare but severe neurological events like seizures and Guillain-Barré syndrome, though NPH specifically isn't mentioned, so I don't think it's a known side effect. Joel's rapid decline and tour cancellation through July 2026 raised questions about vaccine-related neurological risks, blah, blah, blah. I like Billy Joel. Myself, I for some reason, this is probably not particularly important for you, but I remember learning how to skate in Canada, and I don't care what you say anymore. This is my life. Go ahead with your own life. Leave me alone. I just remember listening to that. And I also remember being, in my teens and listening in headphones to the song Vienna. Slow down, you crazy child. You're so ambitious for a juvenile. But then if you're so young, strong, and tell me, why are you still so afraid? It's a beautiful song. Beautiful song. And but it's funny because he just kind of stopped recording any new songs. big man on Mulberry Street, and that's it, man. That's it. And you got to listen to, he did a duet with Ray Charles, my baby grand. And when he's in concert and he imitates Ray Charles, it's incredible. I mean, a really talented guy. But yeah, he just stopped. I don't care what you say anymore. This is my life. Absolutely great for me personally, says James. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, I still belong, and you can speak your mind, but not on my time. Oh yeah, it's a great song. He's a great singer. My God, listen to him do Innocent Man. Whew. What an amazing vocalist. Tom Cruise is the same age as Ian McKellen was when he played Gandalf. I don't know what, we talked about this before, but yeah, it's Moving Out. It's a great song. Themes from an Italian Restaurant, also a great song. And yeah, I just loved Billy Joel's stuff. It was great. Oh, even he said some of his songs are kind of like dental drills. The one about history is kind of like dental drills. All right. Any other last thoughts, questions, issues, comments? Yes, Moving Out is a great song. Some of Billy Joel's song is survivable from a mediocre baritone approach, as such as I have. I can do a few things. Still rock and roll to me. That's vaguely handily. You know, in the same way that most people can sing We Will Rock You by Queen, but God help you if you ever try to take on something like Somebody to Love or anything else. But yeah, Billy Joel has some fantastic songs. Just fantastic songs. All right, well, I will stop here. I really do appreciate everyone's time tonight. If you could help out the show, I would deeply and humbly and gratefully appreciate it so that I can care about you. freedomain.com/donate. If you want to set up a call-in show, private or public, happy to do it. We've got a real gift, and I really do thank for the listener. He did a private call-in show. It's very powerful stuff because, again, I'm pretty blunt and direct at the private call-in shows. And he agreed, or he offered to make it public. And that's very kind. It's very generous. I hugely appreciate it. That's going to go out to donors over the weekend. And then at some point in the future, it will go out to the general stream, I think. But I guess that's a chance for you to listen into what a private call-in show is like. And that's very kind of him, and I appreciate that. And so you can go to freedomain.com/call to help out the show. As far as that goes, and have yourself an absolutely wonderful weekend. We will speak to you Sunday. Lots of love. Take care, my friends. Bye-bye.